As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder what it feels like to be totally lost. As I was thinking about these passages, as I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, I was trying to remember a time when I've been lost, and I couldn't. Now, of course, there have been times when I've had difficulty finding the way to the place I was meant to be going to. There are times when I've not been sure exactly where the bit of ground that I'm stood on the map that I'm looking at. There have been times when I've driven the wrong way around the M25 to get places. But I couldn't recall a time when I felt that I didn't have a single clue how to get home. And I think that's how I'd know that I was properly lost, if I had no idea how to get home, which way home was, how I was going to get there. If I felt like that, then I would know that I was lost. Maybe you have been in that position. Maybe you have known what it feels like to be entirely lost. If not, then perhaps this idea might help you to imagine what it would be like to be lost. How would you feel if somebody took you from here in a blacked out, soundproofed car and dropped you in the middle of a wood, in the middle of a night, in a country where you didn't speak the language, where you had no money? If you wandered around that wood until you couldn't walk another step, curled up in a ball at the end of your resources, just knowing in the depth of you that you're not going to see your home again. What would that feel like? What would that sense of being lost feel like? I suspect there would be despair, fear, sorrow. What then if you see a light swaying through the trees? Are you imagining it? You think you hear a voice calling your name, your throat so dry you can't call out, but you feel warm arms cradling you, gentle hands lifting you. You smell the familiar scent of home on the clothes of your finder. The taste of a reviving drink is sweet on your tongue. What then? You have been truly found. Hope, faith, vaulting joy. And not just joy for you, but joy for the one who's found you. Joy for those who've missed you, those who've been praying that you would be found. Joy and rejoicing, celebration and party. Lost and found. The two stories that we've heard this morning that Andrew read for us from Luke's account of the good news of Jesus' life draw on this contrast between the despair of being lost and the joy of being found. And it seems to me that it's as we dwell on this contrast, we really allow the reality of how different the two are, then we understand more clearly the call of God and our lives. And it seems to me that the reactions of the two characters in these stories tell us something about the contrast. You see, neither of them are indifferent to their loss. It seems to me you can tell a lot about how important a thing is to somebody by what they do if they lose it. So, for instance, if I dropped a 50 pence coin out of my pocket on the street and it rolled into the drain, I'd be a bit annoyed. But I wouldn't even probably try and lift a grating. If my wedding ring fell off and rolled in. I would be down on the road, shoulder deep in the gutter, to get it out again. Our reactions to what we've lost tell us a lot about how much we value it. The shepherd left 99 perfectly good sheep to go and spend time and effort finding the one who was lost. Because the shepherd knew that for that sheep, being lost meant death. It meant the possibility of attack from wild animals. It meant not finding safe water or grazing. It meant disease. Being lost leads to death. The woman, well, she went to a lot of effort to find the coin that she'd lost. And that wasn't just a 50 pence piece coin. It was a tenth of her savings. Now, I don't know how much you have in your savings account. If you have a savings account in your pension pot, imagine a tenth of it disappeared. You'd be on the phone to the bank trying to work out where it went, wouldn't you? It was probably part of her dowry, almost like her wedding ring. In that culture, her dowry would have been almost like part of her value as a person. It was extremely valuable to her, and we see that in what she does. She turns the house upside down. What else do both characters do? They both put a lot of time and effort into finding the thing that's lost, but they also rejoice and invite others to rejoice when they find what they're looking for. You might even think that they went a bit overboard in celebrating, but that's part of Jesus' point. He's exaggerating for effect. The difference between being lost and being found is huge. It's the difference between death and life. As somewhat extreme, perhaps, reactions of the shepherd and of the woman to the losses and the findings make this very clear. The difference between lost and found is extreme. It's the difference between death and life. And it seems to me that the point that Jesus makes at the end of each of these stories is really important. He talks about a joy in heaven, the joy of the angels, in a sense, the joy of God. There is joy in heaven when the lost are found. There's more joy in heaven when the lost are found than over anything else. And if that's true, and if we as human beings are created in the image of God, which I believe we are, and if as followers of Jesus we're being made more like God, then surely we will find our greatest joy when the lost are found. In simple terms, what brings God joy will bring us joy. And who would like more joy in their lives? Yeah, I know I would. And in these stories, one of the things that Jesus is showing us how to do is how to experience more joy. By joining in God's mission to find the lost and then to join the party, we will know more joy. This is my experience. Some of my most joyful memories are the times when I've been involved in someone who was lost being found, starting to follow Jesus. I love it. There is no better feeling than opening an email from an old friend who has come to faith. There's nothing better than walking with Jesus as he tracks someone down and being there when he lifts them in his arms and brings them home. What could bring us more joy than knowing someone will live forever in the safe keeping of God's love? So, we've got this idea that the difference between being lost and being found is huge, it's critical, and that if we want to bring joy to heaven and to ourselves, we want to join in the task of finding. But what does that mean practically? What are we actually going to do? Well, as I was thinking about these stories, various things that the shepherd and the woman actually did struck me. It's not complicated, this. The shepherd left where he was and went after the lost sheep. The woman lit a lamp and swept the house. So, that's what they did. So what might that suggest about what we could do? I wonder what they might inspire us to. Well, I've got a few suggestions, but that's all they are. They are just suggestions. You might want to spend some time this week reading over the stories, chewing them over and thinking, okay, what might I take? What might the Holy Spirit be suggesting to me about what I might do? So let's start with the shepherd. What did the shepherd do? He left where he was and he went looking. So, what does it mean for us to leave the place where we are and go looking? Might it inspire us to leave a comfortable place? Maybe to move away from the place we live to a new place. Maybe to do things outside this building. To work with people we don't yet know. It might not be a huge trek. It might not be a physical trek. It might be that sense of leaving our comfort zone and stepping outside a little bit. Some of you might have received Nick's mission update email this weekend. If you don't, if you aren't on the mailing list for that and you'd like to, then let him know. I know that he'd love to share what he's been up to with you and get you praying. But over the last few months, Nick and some of the other folk from here and from House of Prayer have been working with some of the refugees living in the White House Hotel. That's a really good example of this kind of work. Going beyond the borders, leaving where you are, going somewhere else to find out what God's up to. The woman lit a lamp to bring light into dark places. Okay, so what does it mean for us to light a lamp? Might it inspire us to speak words of kindness? To go the extra mile, to bring hope when people are in despair, to speak words of truth when people are tied up in lies and false or negative images of themselves. In our lives, in our workplaces, in our colleges, in our families, what does it mean to light a lamp and shine some light? The woman swept the house. What does it mean for us to sweep the house? And I'm not really suggesting get the Hoover out. This is a bit of a leap, but it's what came to my mind. Might it inspire us in prayer to get down on our knees, listening for the clink of the coin, listening for the opportunity to reach out a hand to somebody who is lost and draw them in. I wonder who you're praying for. Who you're praying for to come to faith. Who you're praying for to be found. Perhaps you used to pray for someone, but maybe they came to faith and that was great, but you haven't actually found someone else yet to start praying for. Or maybe you were praying for somebody for a long time and nothing seemed to be happening and you became a bit disheartened. Who could you pray for? Who could you be listening out for? As I say, just some suggestions that sparked off in my mind as I was thinking about these practical actions that the shepherd and the woman took. You might come up with some others. As I was thinking about all this, I was struck by echoes of the start to stir ideas we explored earlier in the summer. If you weren't around or you missed any of them, they're still all there on the Facebook and YouTube channels, on the recorded services. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll read a book, or I'll get some teaching, or I'll have a sermon series, and I'll think, oh yeah, that's a really good idea. And then life happens. And it kind of just, those things I thought were a really good idea, or I'll have a go at that, they just kind of trickle away from my mind a bit, and I never quite seem to end up doing them. I wonder if there was something that caught your attention in the middle of all that start to stir stuff, that you thought at the time, well, that's a really good idea, I ought to do that. Perhaps an idea about how to stir up a conversation about spiritual things. Again, perhaps a bit outside our comfort zones, that idea of going beyond. But perhaps which could bring light to somebody. Or perhaps somebody who, in the middle of all that, you thought, you know what, I could be praying for them, because I want to talk to them, but I don't know how to do this, so maybe I'll start praying for God to give me an opportunity to. So maybe this morning is a bit of a reminder, just to revisit some of that stuff, to recommit, perhaps, to something you thought, well, that's a good idea, but never quite got to. Wonder if there might be things that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to remember this morning. Two of our core values here at All Saints, loving our neighbours and celebrating. They're even on banners. They must be important if they're on banners. Loving our neighbours and celebrating. We have these as core values because they are core values for God. We see them so clearly in these stories that we read this morning. We love others enough to go looking for them because Jesus loves us enough to come looking for us. We celebrate because God is a God of celebration. God is the one who throws the parties, who is full of joy when the lost are found. So the question for us is, are we willing to live out these values? To take responsibility for our part in putting them into practice, for loving our neighbours and celebrating when they're found? Will we leave where we are and go looking? Will we light our lamps to shine light? Will we sweep and pray? Amen.